When I was chairman of the committee, in the Senate, I could just say, this meeting will be called to order, and if nobody paid attention, then the security would come in and take care of them. But I didn't have that option here today, I guess. But yeah. But anyway, that's how that goes. I appreciate the message we had this morning from Mark. I don't know if anybody else did, but I appreciate the message that he had, and I think it's important for us to understand that that we're not here to play games. We're not here to have good times. We're not here for physical reasons. And if that's our point, then I think we're wasting our time. I have some people come to me once in a while in the legislature and say, I'll trade this vote. If you'll vote for this thing, I'll vote for that thing. And I said, I don't make them deals. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to do things that would promote bad ideas. So I just don't do that. And I think that's the principle we need to have in the church. We're not here to play games. If it's not what God said to do, then let's don't do it. And so I appreciate what Mark had to say, and I appreciate what we all come for is not to. We're here to fellowship together, not to figure out some way to make everybody feel better. And I think we need to make each other feel a bit better, but we need to do it in the proper way. This weekend we had family camp, and what we talked a lot about at our family camp was love. You know, how we should, you know, love our spouses, love our children, love our grandchildren, even love our enemies. That's what I think we need to do. And when Brandon asked me, Brandon's been teaching class, and when he asked me to fill in today, I just picked out a subject and thought I'd go from there. As we talk about love, I know my dad always thought that when Dr. Spock come in and different people with their ideas talked about love, he said that they were missing some things. He didn't think it was really true love. And I think that's important. I think love has to be something that one thing I did when I was in the legislature is read through Proverbs a lot, because it was easy to read some of that and just pick up some of these one-liners. And there's several places where it says, if you really love your children, you will discipline them. If you, it talks about where God, if God loves you, he'll discipline you. So that, you know, I guess in that sense, Dad was right, you know. But I think there's lots of things that we need to consider as we're talking about love. Let's just read a passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 10, and we can start with verse 25. Luke chapter 10, and we have a situation here where there's a lawyer asking Jesus a question. He said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" So basically, that's what Jesus Jesus agreed with him. That's what the scriptures taught him, is they're supposed to love God and love our neighbors. And I think that's, you know, it's certainly not deeper than just saying them words, but I think it's important for us to understand that That's what Christianity is about. Another passage of Scripture, and I guess we always have people read here, so I forgot about that. But, so we should just start. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's read another passage that it talks about love and how the contrast between what it really means, how serious this love deal is. Somebody want to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24? How do we want to do this? Let's start with you, Kirk, and then we can go around, okay?
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man.
And that, there again, that's another contrast that we have. Either you're going to love one and despise the other. You can't have two masters. You got to pick who you're going to love. And I think that's another important thing for us to look at. As I said, we talked a lot about at our family camp about loving every people in our families. But I think one thing that we need to really work on as we go throughout life is we need to love those who are in the church, those who are Christians, those who are that we're gonna work with. A passage of Scripture that I think we should look at as we're considering that is John chapter 13. John 13. John chapter 13, verse 35. Do you want to read that, Marvin? Jesus makes it pretty plain here that this is how people are going to know that we are his disciples, if we love one another. We as a church loved one another. And so as I was considering that, I went to a passage of Scripture that I've always have really liked. It's a passage that it's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When I was in college, I went to Bible college, and we could either do a paper, write a paper on this book, or we could memorize it. So I wasn't very good at either one, but I chose to memorize it, and it was I don't think I could quote the book still, but I could probably quote this. The first 12 verses of chapter 2, but it's I think it has a lot. It's something that I can read quite often, and it gives you a little bit more perspective on what you should do. But I think what Paul's trying to do here in Philippians chapter 2 is tell us how to love one another in the church. And he was talking to the Philippians here, and it seems to me that as he he starts out by in the first three verses, and he builds it up as it goes clear to the 10, verse 10 and 11, but I think it's really an interesting passage of Scripture. And what I did on some of these, I looked at quite a few Greek words, and actually this is pretty well translated in the New American Standard, but it maybe adds a little bit if you'll take some of the Greek words and look at what they say. anyway, let's read the first verse. Pam, would you do that, please?
Philippians
I think Paul is maybe asking a rhetorical question here. He's saying that this is all true. These things are all true. If there's any encouragement in Christ, and the word for encouragement there is in the Greek is pronounced paraklesis, I think is how it is, which in it just means comfort, consolation, or in entreaty. So I think, you know, encouragement is a pretty good translation of that, really. But I think it's, you know, it's really talking about something within us, something that we really wanted to do for you know, that Paul's talking about here. And if we go down to the word fellowship, which is another key word in here. Well, no, the first off is if we go to the word love, it's agape, which you know, is means a real compassionate love, a real deep love, and affectionate and benevolent. And then if you go to the word fellowship, kinomi, and it just means partnership or participation, communion. It means that we're, you know, that we are part of Christ as we go through this whole deal. And then the word affection, it just means inward affection or bowels. It means something within us deep. And so if we have that inside of us, this is the kind of thing we're supposed to do when we're working with Christians or people in the church. We're supposed to have that kind of affection for them, and I think that's what Paul's really trying to point out, that this is a deep deal for us. It's something that's important. And of course, compassion, which means you know, pity or mercy. It's we need to have that same affection, I think, is for each other. But anyway, let's go to verse 2. Beth, do you want to do that then from the start? Again, I think we can see that you know, this is a deep care for those who are Paul's instructing the Philippians to have that deep care for the Christians in the church, and you know, I think we continue to think back, they'll know we're Christians by our love. But anyway, the word joy just means cheerfulness, delight, gladness. We need to be glad that we're part of that. We need to be happy that we're in the church, and we need to show that. And then the word complete, which Mark talked about a little bit this morning, it says level up, satisfy, execute, perfect, to cram. It's something that we need to work on as we're working on this relationship with others, trying to encourage others. And then, of course, united in spirit. And I think like-minded is what that's talking about. And, you know, as we go through the relationships that we have with people, and we talked about that, Mark talked about that a little bit this morning too, is we need to have a purpose. It needs to be scripture. We need to have one purpose, and it needs to be the truth, what's in the scriptures, instead of, you know, a lot of people like to unite over something, just the fact of that they can unite and be to get along. But that's not what this is It's saying we need to unite over a purpose. Intent on one purpose is what it says. And so I think that's sure something that you know Paul's trying to emphasize to the Philippians, and that's what we need to look at as we work with each other. We need to get ourselves out of the way and be intent on one purpose for Jesus. Let's read chapter or verse 3. The word regard, which comes from the Greek word zera, which means seed, sowing time, posterity, fruit. I think them are some of the synonyms. I think that you know we can see that it's really a lot deeper than the surface. I think we need to see that this is something that we you know, we need to look at and have a purpose and have a understand that it's going to last for a long time. But if you have that when you're working with each other, and you have that theory, then I think it's that it would go a lot further than if you're not that deep. And anybody have any comments so far on anything? Yeah.
Word for helper, yeah. About the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of when he's saying there's an encouragement in Christ, you know, how the Holy Spirit that needs to call to one's aid, you know, when somebody is the Holy Spirit aids the Christian, we're supposed to aid each other in accomplishing the purpose as well in Christ. And so that's kind of what he's saying there. Feeling towards you, you know, and so if we're not assembling as a group and encouraging one another, it's not we're not going to have that aid from each other.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I think Mark brought that up earlier about how the religious community has COVID has really affected the religious community, and I noticed that, you know, in the legislature, I didn't, like I said before, I never wore a mask anytime there. But in fact, I've never worn a mask anywhere except for when I had to go to a hospital once. But but when, you know, some lobbyists and Democrats would come up and talk to me, and I'd just say, I can't communicate with you. There's no way to communicate. I can't tell what you're saying. I can't hear you. I can't see your reflection. But even further than that, we had, you know, a lot of them were on Zoom, and I think that's really going to be devastating to the church, because we need to figure out, we need to feel each other, we need to be deep with each other, and if we do that, use that method, I think it's going to be, you know, that's certainly not what God wanted, I don't think, and I think it's important for us to be able to communicate and encourage one another as we go through this.
Also, throughout the word teamwork, we're all unified towards our intent to serve our fellow brothers and sisters in the community and in the world, and we're on the winning side, right?
Yeah.
With the Lord God Almighty. And so we all have to put aside, we're all different, but the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, unifies us in that endeavor, in that team effort. Working together, cooperating, interdependence, all those things make us stronger. Small things can tear an assembly or a church or a gathering of multiple churches apart. So we have to be cognizant of that. And love is the glue, and respect and compassion and understanding. Those are things that are critical to move forward as a group, right, with like minds.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I think... you know, if we allow ourselves to be in the way of the purpose, then that's going to be a problem. Kyle, did you have something? Yeah. Well, let's read verse 4 then. Yeah, 50:2, yeah. You know, and I guess that's, you know, it's just adding to what has been already been said. I think it's important for us to think of that as we have our relationships. You know, I mean, always, you know, the devil is going to work in especially in a church, and one that wants to preach the truth, and if there's a way that they can or he can figure out how to make us not like each other, to not be on the same page, or to have some little thing get in our way, then he'll sure do that. And I think it's important for us to, you know, and I really think this is what love is all about, is figuring out how to handle that with each other. And I think Paul's trying to point this out to the Philippians here. Yeah. I appreciate that again about this weekend. You know, we're able to meet people and talk to them about what they do and how they fit into the church, basically how they fit into the plan to further the gospel. And I think that's really important. let's read. Let's read down to verse 11. Should we do that? Is that your turn now, Mark? Yes, it is. Huh? Yeah.
Just have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form. God in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I think it's marvelous how Paul used the first five verses and then went on and showed how possible it is to do this because Jesus done it. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, you understand that Jesus had it all going for him. Now, he was able to be with God in heaven. And he was asked to come down here to be on this earth to be an example for us. He was asked to first, tempt himself to do that and become obedient even to the point of death. He was going to be a man, even become obedient even to the point of death. Really a sacrifice for the purpose that God had. he was asked to go to the worst death, which is be hung on a cross, die slowly. And so when we look at that example, what do we have to give up? We don't have to give much up. We're in pretty good shape, We don't have to give a lot up. We need to give all we have, but God asked Jesus to do a lot, but then as it shows, he was rewarded, and that's the same thing that we can look forward to is that reward. And I think it's important for us to have our mindset on how we can get ourselves out of the way, make the church be a real force, so that people can understand that we are Christians, and so that they can understand that they have the opportunity to be have the same situation that we have. And I think if we can get our minds wrapped around that, I think it's really important for the church and how the church is going to operate. So, anybody have any other comments? That's pretty fast to go through that little passage of Scripture like that. But I think it's, I always appreciate this passage of Scripture, and it's a good one. And when my attitude gets a little bit out of line, I think it's pretty good to go through and read that. And it does a lot. Kyle, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to, Mark talked about the debate between Jay and Chuck, and just the difference in that mindset. Can you actually change for the better, and can you actually live righteously? These things that are listed in this passage are not common among most people. You look at marriages. My friends are not Christians. It's not about your spouse first. It's about I'll go fishing this day, and then she'll do her thing that day. It's very selfish. We live in a selfish world. These things listed, are not often found in worldly people. And I know at one point in my life, these things weren't found. But then when we become Christians, those are things that's things you have to change to. You have to you aren't just trying to do these things. It's something we're supposed to do. And we look at the commandments and stuff, and it's not, we don't just turn God loose and let him, Jesus take the wheel. We don't do anything. Jesus take the wheel, but we might still run the pedals. We still have to do something a part of it. And these things don't come naturally to the worldly person. These are things that we have to work for, and we have to work on and try to do better at for the betterment of not only the church, but in return.
And I appreciate Mark's analogy on this morning about the miracle. God can change us. We understand that when you know, when we're immersed into Christ and we are able to have forgiveness of sin and receive the Holy Spirit, and that's the power that we have to do these things. And if we so I think that's what Paul has worked on a little bit in this whole passage too. And the other thing is that I think we need to realize is that we're on the winning side. If we have the chance to be there. And so I think that's the mindset we need to have. And that's what I would challenge everybody to do today.